Well, the time has come that we might hear the word of God, and I hope and pray that you've prepared yourself, that you'll be attentive and think about the things that our brother's going to say this morning to us. I'll present now our brother and apostle, Duane Ely.
Thank you, Gordon. It is good to be with you this morning. I know we have quite a few people that are in Missouri at this time at the camp, but we still have quite a few people here, and it's good to see each one of you here this morning. Today I want to talk about judgment. It's kind of a big subject, really. It has a lot of different parts. And it's kind of an unpopular word today, isn't it? Because people don't want to be judged, do they, for their actions? They don't want their actions to be judged. Today's society kind of wants to let everybody kind of live their own lives and kind of do whatever they want without anybody making any kind of judgment about what they're doing. And, you know, today we are persecuted for making a judgment about sin, or making a judgment against sin. But you know, those people, it's okay for those people to make a judgment against us for making a judgment against sin. It's kind of strange, isn't it? Really, how that works today. It's kind of upside down. We wouldn't have seen this earlier on in this nation. But we do see these things today. And, you know, we need to make judgments every day in our life about all different kinds of things. Both temporal and spiritual, and using good judgment, that can bring us to salvation. It can lead us to salvation. But using bad judgment, that can destroy our lives, both temporally and spiritually. And God will judge us according to the things that we do in this life. He is taking note, isn't he, right now, of all the things we do in our lives. And today I want to talk about several different aspects of judgment. I want to start with an example of judgment, of God's judgment. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. And today, people don't want to hear this kind of thing. I think a lot of them don't believe these kind of judgments are going to take place because they want to live the life they want to live, and they don't want anybody to tell them that they can't do something or that they shouldn't do something. Well, let's look here in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. God made a judgment, didn't he, upon the very angels in heaven. Cast them out because they weren't doing what they were supposed to do. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah and the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. We see a time here in history where God destroyed the world because of their wickedness and preserved only eight people. Only eight people, can you imagine, was all that was preserved, all that was righteous. But a judgment that God made upon the world. and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Another example here of God destroying Sodom and Gomorrah because of their wickedness. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The unjust will be punished. But we see also here of the hope that's in this verse, that God knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. You know, if we seek God, He will deliver us out of these temptations, that we might be able to live a righteous life, and that we might be able to follow after Him, that in that last day that we will be judged as a righteous people. My next section I want to look at is judgment against evil. And that verse we just read was a judgment against evil, wasn't it? But let's look at what we need to do in our lives. Moroni chapter 7, verses 10 through 14. And this is on page 764. Wherefore, all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of the devil. For the devil is an enemy unto God, and fighteth against Him continually, and inviteth and enticeth us to sin, and to do that which is evil continually. We need to always remember that all things which are good cometh of God, and that which is evil cometh of Satan, or the devil. But behold, that which is of God inviteth and enticeth to do good continually. Wherefore, everything which inviteth and enticeth to do good and to love God and to serve Him is inspired of God. Wherefore, take heed, my beloved brethren, that ye not judge that which is evil to be of God, and that which is good and of God to be of the devil. And I think that is a problem that we have today in this world, in this nation, is that people get these things all mixed up. That they have the evil that it speaks about in the Scriptures, they have decided today that many of those things are good, haven't they? And it is okay to do those things. They have misjudged, haven't they? They have been led away by Satan, and they are making an incorrect judgment about what is good and from God and what is evil and from Satan. They have got them mixed up. For behold, my brethren, it is given unto you to judge, that ye may know good from evil. And the way to judge is as plain, that ye may know with a perfect knowledge, as the daylight is from the dark night. For behold, the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that they may know good from evil. Wherefore I shew unto you the way to judge. For everything which inviteth to do good and to persuade to believe in Christ is sent forth by the power and gift of Christ. This inspiration is available to all, that we can have this discernment. But you know that the Spirit of Christ is given to every man, that they may know good from evil. It is given to man. But through the things of this world and through the temptations of Satan, they misjudge. For Christ will show us the way that we should judge these things, that we will judge them correctly. But many today in this world have been led away, have been led away into making these incorrect judgments, of making things that are evil in their minds to be good. And we know that that is never true. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Many false teachings, many false prophets out there in the world today. We have to judge the spirit that they are being led by. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. We know that's a good spirit, don't we? That Jesus Christ is the very Son of God. But today we see even Christian religions that are twisting that around. And even not believing that, Christian religions today that don't even believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They are being led by false spirits, false teachings. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. We know that anyone that says that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, that is a false teaching. That is not of God. It says here that it is the spirit of Antichrist. An Antichrist is anybody that opposes Jesus Christ, that opposes that he is the Messiah, the very Son of God. That is an Antichrist. Anyone that is against Christ. And the world is filled with these people. We have to make these judgments every day in our life of what is correct and what is false, because Satan will try to lead us away. Now I want to look at a few things in our lives that God will judge, things that we do in our daily walk of life that are going to come before God to be judged. And this is just a few things, but really we know everything, don't we? Everything that we do in our lives is subject to God's judgment. Let's start here in 1 Nephi, chapter 4, verses 52 through 54. And this is on page 46. And this is judged by our works. For the day should come that they should be judged of their works, yea, even the works which were done by the temporal body in their days of probation. We will be judged by the things that we do in this life, in our temporal body. While we are here on this earth, we will be judged for these things. But this is another thing that the religions today have twisted around. Probably most of the Christian religions have twisted this around. Well, you're not going to be judged by your works. You're going to be saved by grace. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ, and you're going to be saved by grace. And we know in the Book of Mormon it talks about that we will be saved by grace, but it says after all we can do, And that's what it's talking about, our works. The things that we do in this life, whether they're good or evil, whatever they are, we will be judged by them. And it tells us in many places in the Scripture that we will be judged by these things that we do. Wherefore, if they should die in their wickedness, they must be cast off also. As to the things which are spiritual, which are pertaining to righteousness, wherefore they must be brought to stand before God to be judged of their works. A warning to those that are living a wicked life. A warning to those that would die in their wickedness. That they would come before that judgment of God to be judged for those works that they did in this life. The next one here. We will be judged by our words. Let's turn over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 12. Verses 35 through 37. And these are Christ's words. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. We have to be careful of our words that we say. I know at work, as I listen to some of these people, their conversation is full of idle words, full of profanity, full of things that have no bearing on any type of anything good or uplifting or righteous, full of idle words. In fact, many, that is most of their words, idle words. But we are warned to be careful of this and to watch our words. Watch the things we say. Watch the thoughts in our minds. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Something to keep in mind. The things that we say, are they things that will build up the body of Christ? Or are they things that will tear it down? Gossip is one that can tear it down, isn't it? We have to be cautious. Have to be cautious of the things that we say. Because we know the things we say, where did they come from? They came from our mind. They came from our thoughts. Our words are just expressions of our mind and our thoughts. Something we need to be aware of. The next one. God will judge the secrets of men. Let's look at Romans 2, verse 16. A very simple verse. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. The secrets of men. You know, we can keep a lot of things secret, can't we? From our brothers and sisters. Lots of things secret. That maybe nobody else knows about. But those things will be judged. You know, as we live our spiritual life, it's kind of funny how we are, because it seems like sometimes we're in a cloud. And I'm talking about me too. We would be afraid to do something in front of our brothers and sisters, or in front of the world, But in secret, you know, it's different. We think, well, we're getting away with something. But we know that Christ is right there with us every second, that sees everything we do, that sees every thought that we have. But we lose sight of that, don't we, sometimes? We don't really think of Christ being there. Do we think of Christ being here with us today? He is here with us today. I can't see Him. I can feel His Spirit today. I can feel the Holy Spirit. But I can't reach out and touch somebody. But He is here. He knows the secrets in our lives. We will be judged for those things. Everyone. And you know, secrets don't always have to be bad. Because I know some people do things in secret, and it even talks us to when we give our donations and stuff. I know people often give something to somebody and don't want any recognition for it. They're judged for that. It's a good judgment, isn't it? A good judgment. We will be judged for all those things. Our crimes will be judged. Alma 19, verses 12 and 13. This is on page 446. But behold, ye cannot hide your crimes from God, and except ye repent, they will stand as a testimony against you at the last day. Very similar to the secrets, isn't it, really? We can't hide these crimes. We can't hide them from God. Now, my son, I would that you should repent. Forsake your sins and go no more after the lusts of your eyes, but cross yourself in all these things. For except ye do this, ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. You know, all of us that are adults, we have these crimes in our life. We have these sins. Except for the little children here. None of us have walked sinless. We have these crimes. We can't hide them. God knows about every one of them. But He has given us a way, hasn't He? He has given us a way to overcome these through repentance. Through repentance, if we're willing to repent of these crimes, these sins that we have committed in our lives, God will wipe the slate clean. He will wipe it clean, and they will not be held against us at that judgment day. They will be wiped clean. But it has to be a daily part of our life. Daily part of our life. That we are continually wiping these things clean when we trip and fall and commit sin. Because God is faithful. God is faithful to forgive us if we come before Him with a humble heart. The next section is we will be judged by the commandments, by the things that we have before us here. Let's look at Mosiah chapter 8, verses 61 through 65. This is on page 253. But behold, and fear, and tremble before God, for ye had ought to tremble, for the Lord redeemeth none such that rebelleth against Him and dieth in their sins. A warning, isn't it? A warning. For God redeemeth none that rebelleth against Him and dieth in their sins. there we have repentance again. We need to repent of our sins. Yea, even all those that have perished in their sins ever since the world began and have willfully rebelled against God, that have known the commandments of God and would not keep them, these are they that have no part in the first resurrection. We know the commandments. We have the commandments before us. In the Bible and the Book of Mormon, God has given us the law. He has given us the rules that we have to follow. And he has warned us, hasn't he? What will happen if we're not willing to follow those rules, to follow those commandments? Therefore, had ye not ought to tremble, for salvation cometh to none such, for the Lord hath redeemed none such. Yea, neither can the Lord redeem such, for he cannot deny himself, for he cannot deny justice when it hath its claim. And here is another place where the world has got things twisted around. They've got things twisted around. Many believe that God will not condemn them. No matter what they do, he's not going to condemn them because he is a loving God. And a loving God would not do that, would not condemn them to hell. They're justifying themselves, aren't they? They're justifying their lives, or trying to justify their lives of living in sin. But God has given us the rules. He has given us the commandments to follow. And, you know, we'll read it a little bit later here. You know, when Christ came to the world, he didn't come to condemn the world. He didn't want everybody to be destroyed. He came here to save the world. So he gave us these things. He gave us the rules. He gave us the commandments to follow, so that we could obtain salvation, but he also gave us the consequences. He told us what would happen if we did not follow after those commandments. And it says here that, you know, he cannot deny himself, and he cannot deny justice when it hath its claim. I mean, God would be a false God, wouldn't he, if he let everyone go to heaven, even if they lived a wicked life? Because that's not the rules he set up. That's not the plan of salvation that he gave to us. And we have to understand that is justice. That is the justice of God, that he places everyone at that final judgment where they belong, according to the lives that they have lived in this life. And we know that God knows all things. He knows the workings of our minds. And he will make that correct judgment. He will make that correct judgment for each one of us. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. It's one of my favorite scriptures. The last two verses of Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's our duty. The conclusion of the matter. We have a life to live. We have things to take care of in this world. Those are not the most important things. God understands those things. He knows we have to have a job. He knows we have to support ourselves. Those cannot be the most important things in our lives. Fear God and keep his commandments. That is what is most important. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There's so much in these two small verses. So much is said. He's told us what we need to do. We need to fear God and keep His commandments. And He tells us here that He will bring every work into judgment. Every work, good and bad. All these things we're doing in our life will be brought into judgment. We read about it earlier, the secret things. Every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. These things will all be brought into judgment. And if we are following Christ, following after the Scriptures, we don't need to worry. We don't need to worry. Because we know what that judgment will be. That we will spend eternity with Him. The next section. What will judge us? Let's turn over to John, chapter 12, verses 46 through 48. Again, these are Christ's words. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. We have that light of Jesus Christ. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. That's why Christ came. He came to save the world. And at this time, He didn't come to judge the world. But there will be a time later when He will judge the world. But He came to save the world, to give us that way, to give us that hope, to give us that plan, which He did. He fulfilled that in His life. He gave us everything that we need to know. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. For the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So we see what is going to judge us is the word. The very word of God. The commandments. The things that we read in the Bible. In the Book of Mormon. Those words are what is going to judge us. And we are given them. We have them before us. That we might follow after them. That we might know the way. The next section. Who will be the judge? Just turn back a few chapters in John. John chapter 5. We're going to read verse 22 and 26 and 27 and verse 30. And again, these are Christ's words. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. Jesus Christ will be the judge. The Father has given him that assignment, hasn't he? He's given him that authority. He will be the judge. He will judge us. Verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. He has that authority to execute judgment. The Father gave it to him, to Jesus Christ. Now let's look at verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. So we see what Jesus Christ is going to be the judge, but he is going to do the will of the Father in absolutely every situation. And that is something that we can't even hardly fathom in the world, because the world doesn't do it that way, do they? You know, a president, he will nominate somebody to the Supreme Court, somebody that he thinks is going to be a conservative justice, and he's counting on this guy. He's counting on this justice to make conservative decisions. But what happens when that justice gets in there? He has his own free will, doesn't he? He may make conservative judgments. He may make liberal judgments. Nobody can tell him what to do once he's in there. He's going to do what he feels like doing. That's not the way it's going to be in our judgment. Not going to be that way at all. Christ is going to do what is right, what is correct, and what is the will of God in every situation. And you know, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Because if we're living a righteous life, there's no false justice or judge that could take that away from us, that could condemn us because he didn't like us or whatever. That's not going to happen to us. And Satan is not going to be able to steal us away as long as we are living a righteous life. If we turn to Satan and follow after him, yeah, he can lead us away and steal our souls. But if we're living a righteous life, he's not going to have power over us. And the scriptures tell us that he will flee from us. That Satan will flee from us if we're following after our Lord and Savior. The next section, who will be judged? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Everyone. Everyone that has ever been born will stand before that judgment seat to be judged of the things that they have done. None of us will escape it. Nobody will escape standing before that judgment seat. And that's going to be a lot of people, isn't it? There's 6 billion people in the world today. And how many billions and billions have lived before us and died? Everyone will stand before Jesus Christ to be judged for the things that they did in this life. The next section, when will we be judged? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. And these are Christ's words. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Here's one of the ways that we will be judged. We are being judged every day. Every day in our lives. Are we a light on the hill? Are we a shining light to the world? Every day, every minute. If we're not, we know that we can't hide it from God, right? So God sees that, and He's taking note of that, making judgment on that, whether what we're doing is right or wrong. But also the world is knowing that too, aren't they? They're making judgment about us. If we cut somebody off in traffic, or somebody cuts us off and we shake our fist at them, they're making a judgment about us. At work, if we get mad at somebody, say something we shouldn't, or idle words, they're making a judgment about us. And especially if we're proclaiming to be Christians, which we better be, hadn't we? Proclaiming to be Christians, proclaiming to have the truth. We are that light on the hill. People are looking to us. But they're also looking for you to make that little tiny slip. One little tiny slip. And they're going to make a judgment about you. A lot of times, you can do so many good things. Make that one little tiny slip, and what are they going to say? He's a hypocrite. He's a hypocrite. Don't pay attention to him. They forgot about the other hundreds of times, maybe, that you were good and right. That one little slip, and they're going to make a judgment on you. Yeah, I knew it. I knew it all along. Just a big phony. Hypocrite. We need to be a light on the hill. To draw others in. Draw them in to Jesus Christ. That they might see that we're different. That we have something different. That we have different beliefs. That we're trying to separate ourselves from the world. And not get caught up in it. So we're being judged every day in this life. We will be judged at death. There will be a judgment. Alma 19, verses 43 through 47. These first couple of verses are, again, one of my favorite scriptures because they give us so much hope. So much hope. If we're living a righteous life. Behold, it has been made known unto me by an angel that the spirits of all men, as soon as they are departed from this mortal body, yea, the spirits of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to that God who gave them life. Every person who dies is taken home. They're taken home. Whether they're good or evil, they're all taken home to Jesus Christ. As soon as they leave this body. Now, let's read on. And then it shall come to pass that the spirits of those which are righteous are received into a state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all their troubles and from all their care and sorrow. That's where the righteous go. Those that have lived a righteous life. Those that have done good works in this life, tried their best to follow after the commandments and to do the will of God. That's where they're at, in this place called paradise. But let's read on. And then it shall come to pass that the spirits of the wicked, yea, which are evil, for behold, they have no part nor portion of the Spirit of the Lord. For behold, they chose evil works rather than good. Therefore, the spirit of the devil did enter into them and to take possession of their house. Those that chose evil works, Satan took possession of them. Took possession. Verse 46. And these shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And this because of their own iniquity, being led captive by the will of the devil. They were led away. Led away by these false teachings. Led away by Satan. Captive. Captive. They were imprisoned by him. They were imprisoned by Satan. Now this is the state of the souls of the wicked. Yea, in darkness. And a state of awful, fearful looking for of the fiery indignation of the wrath of God upon them. Thus they remain in this state, as well as the righteous in paradise, until the time of their resurrection. There is a judgment. There is a judgment upon us when we first die. But we know there is another judgment. My next part of this is Judgment Day. Let's look at Acts 17:31. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. There will be a judgment day. We don't know when that is. We don't know when that is. And it's kind of like the same thing. We don't know when we're going to die either, do we? We don't know when that day is. So we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared every day. Because we don't know what the future holds. We don't know. It's funny how things come upon us. Maybe a month ago, I got the case of the shingles. And it was, you know, like one day, life's somewhat normal, and you know, I start feeling a little rash on my neck, and then I start feeling welts, and it just starts spreading, you know, and it just came upon me just like that. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We need to be prepared today. Let's look at the final judgment. Revelation chapter 20. Verses 12 through 15. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Remember, we talked to everybody. Everyone. The small and the great. Those throughout time who have thought they were mighty men, great leaders, better than everybody else maybe. They're going to be standing there right next to the little peasant man, the little poor peasant man. All going to be standing there to be judged. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Again, we read They'll be judged according to their works, the things we have done in this life, and judged by the things in the books, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, as we read earlier. Judged by the commandments, judged by the Word of God. That's what will judge us. These books will be open. And it talks about the Book of Life. You know, God is recording in that Book of Life the things that we have done. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know how that is. It's all recorded somewhere. You know, many years ago, if you were going to record the life of everyone in here, what would you have done? You'd have got a ledger book, wouldn't you? You'd have got a ledger book. And I remember seeing an old picture of my company, SRP, many years ago, 50 years ago, and it shows somebody coming in to pay their bill. And this lady's got a huge ledger book there, you know, and she takes her name and their money and how much they wrote it all down. That's it. That's all there was, a ledger book. That's what we'd have done, wouldn't it, years ago. What would we do today? Well, it would be in a computer, wouldn't we? Be in some huge database somewhere that might or might not be erased somehow someday. So I don't know how God has all this stuff recorded. But it's all recorded somewhere. These things that we have done in our life. These good and bad. But you know, we have all these things that we've done good. They're recorded. Okay. And we had these things that were done that we've done evil, and they were recorded. But he's not going to erase these things we've done good, is he? They're going to be there. But these evil things, these sins where we've broken the commandments, if we repent of those things, he will erase them. They will be erased no matter what we've done in this life. If we truly repent and are sorrowful and come with him, to him with a humble heart, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he will erase that. It won't be held against us. That's a wonderful thing for us. A wonderful thing. But whatever there is there in that book, however that looks, at that final judgment, you know, once we die, once we leave this life, we can't change it. We can't change that book. It's sealed. It's sealed. We can't change it. We can change it now. We can make those changes. We can add those entries on the good side. And we can erase those sins on the bad side. They won't be held against us. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That doesn't sound very good for the wicked, does it? Doesn't sound very good. They were cast into the lake of fire. And I'm sure the lake of fire is a terrible place. I'm sure we can all imagine things in our minds of what this could be or what this could look like. And they're probably not near as bad as what it really is. And what's even worse about that is that's where they will spend eternity. Can never escape. Never escape. But let's look at what happens to the righteous. Mormon 3. 28 and 29, page 703. And he bringeth to pass the resurrection of the dead, whereby man must be raised to stand before his judgment seat. And he hath brought to pass the redemption of the world, whereby he that is found guiltless before him at the judgment day hath it given unto him to dwell in the presence of God in his kingdom, to sing ceaseless praises with the choirs of above, unto the Father and unto the Son, and unto the Holy Ghost, which are one God, in a state of happiness which hath no end. Quite a difference, isn't there? Quite a difference between these two places. And I don't, like I said before, I really can't, I know exactly what that lake of fire looks like. And I don't know exactly what this looks like. I don't know. But I know that this will be wonderful. To live in a state of happiness that hath no end. What a wonderful thing that would be. To live with our Lord and Savior forever and ever. Those are the choices that we have. Those are the choices that man has, mankind has. And everyone on this earth, once they reach that age of accountability, are making the choice of where they're going to spend eternity. By the things that they do in this life, the decisions that they make, the judgments they make about things, whether they are good or whether they are evil. The Lord has wonderful things in store for us, wonderful promises. It says in the scripture we can't even imagine these things. Things are so wonderful that we can't even imagine. And each one of us are choosing each day. We're making those choices. We're making those entries in the book of life. That someday God will open up. And he will make that final judgment upon each one of us. Of where we will spend eternity. And it is the hope and desire in my heart that when that day comes, that each one of us will be found to be righteous. That we might spend that eternity together with our Lord and Savior. Thank you.